Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is a bonus episode with Corey Christman. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I help school administrators fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. I'm also the host of this podcast, where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's bonus show with Corey Christman, we explore a number of interesting topics like tips for making local school communities safer and what we can do, how we need to start with recognition and observation, and how to build situational awareness and provide a system to process the information. Now, today's podcast upgrade, I'm very excited about. It's a really amazing opportunity. Corey and I will be hosting a free webinar, absolutely free, on making your campus safer. Click the link in the show notes or go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/school safety. So that's all one word, school safety. So betterleadersbetterschools.com/school safety. And you can register for free. The webinar is June 5th at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. And if it's past June 5th and you're listening to this podcast, you can still go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/school safety. And I will make sure that there is access available to the replay. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an incredible free resource for the better leaders that listen to this podcast. It's the top 10 fundraising ideas for 2018, and that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you'll get the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 when you download it at schoolzonepodcast.com. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I'm really excited because I'm bringing Corey Christman back to the show for the second time. He originally appeared on Better Leaders, Better Schools episode 101, which was Do You Understand the Value of Others? Corey is the chief executive officer of Vethos LLC, a human capital leadership and executive strategy firm. He's also now an adjunct professor at the University of Pittsburgh, teaching leadership and business ethics, a retired supervisory special agent, United States Air Force Office of Special Investigations, and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And fun fact, a professionally trained winemaker. Corey, welcome back to the show.
Daniel, it's great to be here. I'm glad to be talking with you again. I had a blast last time, so looking forward to it today.
You know, I really enjoyed that conversation too. And the neat thing about this show is I get to talk to a lot of people I don't know, but I talk to folks that are new to my circle as well. And you are one of those new components, but an absolutely incredible addition to my network. And I received so much positive feedback from what you brought to episode 101. So just want to encourage all the listeners to go back there. Even some of the listeners and a client in the mastermind ended up hiring you as well for some of that great executive leadership and training work that you do. So go back, listen to 101, and guys, get ready because this is going to be also an awesome episode. And so, Corey, you know, you reached out and I really, really appreciate that. There's obviously been some tragic events within the U.S. Regards to school and violence and school safety. And, you know, we've had yet another tragic shooting and I'm guessing that there will be more. We haven't figured out what to do, but because of your expertise, you reached out and you had some ideas that you could share with the listeners in potentially making our schools and our communities a bit more safe. So why don't we start there? Since you have that experience in the military career, and you told me in the pre-chat, you know, that was really focused on counterterrorism and anti-terrorism and keeping our military bases and their personnel safe. So what are some of the similarities from that work that you did around the world to what we could do in our local school communities?
Yeah, great questions. You know, one of the things that I thought would be helpful for your listeners is to understand a little bit about my background. And most of my military career, I was a special agent with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. And as you might imagine, after 9/11, we all know that our world changed, right? Our focus from an investigative standpoint shifted from more of a criminal investigative nature to more of an anti-terrorism or almost a counter-terrorism focus. We began to build strategies around how to keep military members safe and how to keep military installations safe from terrorism, from attacks in general. This, you know, something that we've always done outside the United States. 9/11 obviously increased our focus on making sure that we were doing similar things for bases and military installations within the U.S. But to answer your question, you know, one of the things that, you know, we see from a military installation perspective and also in many schools is we see the schools and districts placing significant importance on what we call physical security measures. Physical security measures are things like single points of entry. There are things like alarms and cameras and active shooter training. Those are all wonderful and fantastic avenues, and many schools or all schools should have a combination of them. What I wanted to talk to you about today, though, is how we can take and expand upon those physical security measures and bring even more safety and more security to our teachers, our schools, and most importantly, our students.
Yeah, that seems very necessary. And, you know, I've been in a variety of schools, from those that have had actually gun detectors that kids went through, which would, I'm guessing, be one of those physical security measures, and cameras, single points of entry, all that stuff that you talked about. But I'm very interested in what these other measures are that we can take and how we can expand on that.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, this is a very emotional topic, and as it should be. And what I'm about to share with you is not the only way. There's many ways that, you know, administrators, superintendents, principals, there's many tactics and techniques that can be employed. But the ones that I want to chat about now are, surprisingly, don't necessarily require an extensive amount of effort. They just require a little more recognition, a little more observation. And what I mean by that is, if you think about attacks and how they actually occur, and I'm going to say the word attack, in a military perspective, we focus on terrorism. And what I want your listeners to understand is I'm not suggesting in any way that students are terrorists, all right? But so for the purposes of our conversation, I'll just say the word attack.
Gotcha.
But when you think about how these attacks have occurred in various schools across our country, there is a process, and process is very similar to how a terrorist might attack a building or, you know, a group of people. And it usually begins with some type of behavior, right? One of the things that we talk about from a terrorist perspective is most of terrorist attacks that have occurred, majority of them, they've all, because of how they're planned, that most all of them are preceded by observable events. And what I mean by that is, if we're aware of our surroundings and if we pay attention to some very simple behaviors, in many instances, terrorism and attacks in general can be prevented.
Gotcha.
Okay. So when we take the physical security piece, those are fantastic. So the question becomes, what can we do from an administrative perspective to push, go deeper into our student body, go deeper into our communities? And when you think of it from an organizational perspective, the physical security measures are what I call a tactical response. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have three echelons, right? Strategic, operational, and tactical. What we need to focus on or consider is, how do we get to that operational and strategic level? Okay. Strategic is obviously the big picture. Many of us are familiar with strategic planning. Strategic planning, we need to consider having a security plan for our schools if we don't already have one. And in that security plan, we need to involve our boards. We need to involve our key leaders within the district. And more importantly, we need to bring a parent or a parent or community representatives into that conversation as well. Okay. From a strategy piece, we understand that attack prevention and terrorism prevention, it's going to be forever part of our process, you know, part of our strategy moving forward. But the key takeaway from my comments thus far is we're tactically, in many instances, we're sound, but from a strategic and operational perspective, we can add in components that are going to extend that envelope out. Does this make sense?
It's making sense, you know, and I'm going to trust you here because this is your expertise. I've read a book, though, you know, in the mastermind, we're reading Thinking Fast and Slow. And so one of the biases they talk about is, you know, this outcome bias, right? So something happens and then you go back and you're like, oh, how did I miss this or that? You know, all the signs were there, but you forget that you didn't have all the information or data at the time prior to whatever that decision is, right? So, but in this case, you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, there actually are observable behaviors and patterns that we can be on the lookout for. And if we notice them, then have some type of strategy or operational response so we can ensure that our communities are safe. Am I hearing you correctly so far?
Sure. Yeah. So far, I'm trying to take some breaths in there. So yeah, and that's not rambling on, but
heck yeah, you know, I want to be on the podcast too. Absolutely.
So I'm sorry. I'm passionate about this, but let's do a use case. All right. Let's make it very simple. Let's do a use case. Let's say hypothetically, we had a student who was considering doing something nefarious. Okay. Let's say using a weapon. Knife, gun, whatever. From a teacher standpoint, from a superintendent standpoint, what can we do to educate our staff? What can we do to educate our students about how to be aware of, how to recognize, and more importantly, how to process information when they come across it, right? Mm-hmm. A student vocalizes, I think I'm going to do something bad, right? And you just happen to know that this student, you know, is a hunter. Is, you know, talks about guns. So that's not to say that the student is going to run home and grab a gun and come back and do something bad. However, we need to pay attention to those conversations, right? We need to make sure that if somebody's communicating something, then we need to listen, right? And more importantly, we need to receive that information and process it for exactly what it is. But too often in life, we get caught up in this, you know, I call it foot on the gas, right? Life happens, we're rocking and rolling, we're doing the things that we normally do. And we see or we might observe these things and we don't give it enough credence. And these are the things when students are communicating, when you think that something is amiss, it's recognizing that for exactly what it is. And I think, and you know, obviously I'm not an expert from a scholastic or school perspective, but I think now more than ever, this is happening, right? Does that make sense so far?
Yeah. So take it for what it is. You've made some type of observation and then back to maybe the strategy and the operations, but you know, there should be some kind of response. Don't let life just happen to you. You know, be mindful, slow it down. And you know, you need to have some type of system to deal with just the potential of an attack.
So from a strategic standpoint, what if we take and we involve, you know, some districts are great at this and some maybe have an opportunity for improvement. What if we begin to work with our local law enforcement, work with our county law enforcement, and bring them in and talk about indicators of what maybe their staff can look for? Okay. Indicators of behavior, indicators of, and more importantly, what to do with that information. Okay. Because from a law enforcement standpoint, we have criminal information and we have information that is suspicious, but doesn't rise to that criminal level. Okay. Mm-hmm. This suspicious information can be challenging for a lot of people because it's like, well, am I infringing upon someone's rights? Or what if I took what they said out of context?
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, if you hear suspicious information or you observe suspicious behavior, we need to remove that thought process of what if, right? And we need to upchannel that information and have a mechanism in place to deal with it and process it, whether it's the guidance counselor, whether it's the school resource officer. So from a strategic standpoint, we begin training our parents, training our community members. We build coalitions from a law enforcement standpoint. We push this out into our community. From an operational standpoint, we make sure our teachers, our staff, our professional staff are all educated on these techniques, right? They begin to look for and take students seriously, right? Yeah. I'm not saying we're not taking them seriously, but if someone says, I got a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Then believe them. Mm-hmm.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Well, the education piece, I want to stop you there for a second. It's so powerful because at a recent position I was in, we brought in the local law enforcement to talk about this, actually, this very scenario. And it's because, we ran through a drill. And within that drill, they normally have those green or red cards, right? And the green means all the kids are accounted for, we're safe, the room is locked. And the teacher's instructed to either, tape that up to their window if there is one in the door, or slide it underneath the door, right? And some teachers, because they think that, they have a better way, right? It's out of ignorance too. They wouldn't put those signs out. And instead of getting mad about it, I was internally frustrated, but I didn't act on that. I reached out to law enforcement and had them first meet with the administrative team. And we just wanted to understand actually the purpose of what we did, right? And what we came to find out is the teachers were scared that this makes them a target. You slide a green card in there, you're telling a potential attacker, we have kids in here, come get us, right? But they were thinking from that perspective. And what we learned from the law enforcement, and this is my way of getting back to the education piece, those cards are there for the response team. And in these crazy and traumatic and terrible events, time is of the essence, And so those cards are data, it's information, just like, Corey, you're talking about processing. And it's for the response team to know super fast where safe places are and where there are potential problems and threats. And that helps them do their thing in terms of their strategy and their tactical response at a much faster rate and hopefully, be able to make sure that everybody is safe. Once we brought that to the staff and the police officer was able to explain all that, we had everybody signed on. But we never would have gotten there if administratively, we didn't make any type of response to the teachers not implementing our strategy. And B, if we would have responded in just like an angry way, like you need to do it because I'm the boss. Well, that's not very convincing. But if we educate, like here's the reason why we're doing it, the light bulb went on and then people were all on board.
Yeah, I can't say it any better than that. Taking time to recognize that people learn and process information differently is paramount. Especially you got to remember when we're in a high stress situation, right? God forbid a active shooter event. We're going to be in what we commonly refer to in the law enforcement arena as fight or flight. Right?
Exactly.
We're going to do what we've been trained to do, hopefully, right? And we're going to react based upon our knowledge and our training. So the reason I believe wholeheartedly in the physical security measures is because when something does happen or if something happens, we've got to train and train and train. So when we're in that fight or flight, right, we have the muscle memory, i.e. the brain power, to actually perform in the way that we need to. The piece that I think we can focus on and expand is the education piece to our staff, to our parents, and more importantly, our students, right? Our students are in the best place to recognize when something's not right, right?
Exactly.
The student's going to be the first person to know if another one of their peers is experiencing trauma or having a bad time. So much like we would train them in English, math, or science, okay, let's teach them a little bit about behavior. Let's teach them a little bit about how to act when they receive something that isn't right. Some students, it's innate, right? They know what to do. Mm-hmm. But what about these situations where they have that suspicious behavior, but and are not really sure? More importantly, if they have it, who do they report it to? So these are the strategic and operational echelons that I'm talking about that round out this strategy for protecting our schools.
Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. And that's one thing, you know, I'll be completely honest. So in all the schools I've been in, I'm proud to say, you know, like that tactical stuff, you know, I talked about the gun detectors, you know, single points of entry cameras, and then what the anecdote I just shared about the education, all that were positives in my experience. But I can't think ever of a school experience that I've had, and I don't know of any schools currently that are talking to their kids about this, having some, yeah, just some type of, I don't know if it's a class or if it's a seminar or whatever, bringing the community together. But, you know, we just talk about it afterwards, right? Through the grief and processing like the loss and the tragedy, but we're not proactive in terms of what can we do. Initially, there'll be some excitement there and people want to do some type of response, and then it dies down. And back to your point, gas is pressed and we're just doing life again. And you forget. So I'm glad that you've come on the show. You know, you're bringing this up. I'm curious, too, if you have seen any schools doing it well or what you might do if you're a school administrator in terms of this education piece.
Well, first and foremost, as an administrator, that's a massively tough job, right? And never having been one, I can't imagine, especially in the world we live in today, that job just seems to be getting more and more difficult. First and foremost, be open and recognizing that there are many ways to process what we're talking about today. But in the more open we are, the more we can invite people into our communities. I'd be happy to talk to any of the administrators, right, who would like to just chat about some avenues of approach. So step one, be open to feedback, right? Step two, recognize that this process that we've talked about could be instituted in your schools, just like all the rest of your programs, right? And it can be done in a positive way. If you've got 500 students in your school, I want these superintendents and administrators to have 500 sensors out there. Mm. And we're not talking about being hypervigilant. We're not talking about being afraid of going to school. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about, from a military standpoint and from a law enforcement standpoint, what we call situational awareness. Okay.
Right.
If we're aware, okay, and we see something that's not right, then what is our recourse? So those are some things I think the administrators and leaders might consider adopting.
That's great. So building the situational awareness and then providing some next steps that everybody's aware of, that's talked about, you educate your community on. And again, not living out of fear, but it's just something that, you know, if you see something, say something, and then this is the, you know, sort of the flow chart or the process to be heard so that, you know, that information could be acted on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it seems a little foreign, right? It seems a little like, well, how do we do this without alarming, you know, people? How do we do this without making our students and our parents uncomfortable? And the short answer is the discomfort they might have is because it's what you and I call change mm-hmm. management, right? It's something new. But when we start involving the community has input, right? We start involving the law enforcement. Next thing you know, our level of trust comes up, much like we would have on any kind of team. Trust is the highest form of motivation, right? The more trust we have in our teams, the more we're going to perform more effectively. Right. So while it might be uncomfortable right now, it's just that learning experience. And I can't stress enough, it's not about hypervigilance. It's recognizing that we must have a new normal. And part of that new normal is taking students, their actions, what they say, how they act, taking them for face value and having a process in place to act, not react. Okay. To act when something seems amiss.
Exactly. You know, and here's the thing, like, we're not afraid to go to the airport and fly. In terms of the U.S., their citizens fly the most out of any country in the world. But we all have this sense and this awareness, too, of what to do if we saw something within the airport that seemed a little off, you know? So just building that awareness as well within school communities. And like you said, not to be reactive, but to act when we see that stuff.
Absolutely. Yep.
So in addition to some of these things that we've talked about, you know, in terms of the education, the new normal, building the situational awareness so that, you know, we have some type of system to process the information, is there anything else regarding this topic you'd like to touch on?
No, I mean, like I said, I can't stress enough on involving the community, right? The more we educate the community, the more that we are help parents understand what that new normal is, the more buy-in we hope to get.
Awesome. Well, hey, let's just do a couple of fun questions. You know, it's a pretty tense and important conversation. So we'll wrap it up with that and sign off. But I think one thing that I'm really interested in these days is this question that Tony Robbins is famous for saying, which is that quality questions create a quality life. Successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. So what's one question you think school leaders need to ask more frequently?
To which audience? In general or to students or?
To ask, I think, of themselves in terms of their leadership capacity and being able to serve their community.
Well, you know, I think one of the things they could ask of their staff or, you know, ask of the people that they work with. You know, well, I'm a big fan of self-awareness and introspection, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything that we're not doing that we should be doing as a team, right? Is there anything that as a leader I'm not doing that you think would make me more effective, right? So the best leaders are the best listeners, in my opinion. But in order to listen, they got to be open to that feedback. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's a great quote. You know, the best leaders are the best listeners. One framework that I've used. So for those that are listening to the podcast right now, you're probably already aware of this, but you know, if you just ask in this protocol, what should we start? What should we stop? And what should we continue? That would be a great way to start this discussion and get to what Corey, you know, was talking about there in terms of being introspective and thinking about other ways to grow. And I think maybe in closing, you know, it's been a while since we've talked last. So just curious, you know, is there anything that you're reading or watching or, you know, engaging with consuming that has, you know, really impacted your own leadership maybe in the past 6 months to a year that you'd like to share as a resource that the listeners should check out to build their own leadership capacity?
Yeah, I shouldn't say I read. I'm an audiobook fiend, you know, so I listen to audiobooks. And I spend a lot of time in the car. One book that jumps out that your readers might find interesting is Never Split the Difference by former FBI agent Chris Voss. And it's a leadership book, but more importantly, it's a communication book. And I think as leaders, we can always improve our communication. And it's a book that focuses on listening and observation more so than it does talking. So I'm a big fan of that.
That book is a game changer. One of the best I read within the last year myself, too. We read it in the mastermind, and it just absolutely, you know, blew their mind. So I'm going to go all in and double down on that. And listeners, if you have not picked up Never Split the Difference yet, you need to run to Amazon or your local bookstore and grab a copy or an audiobook like Corey likes. School leadership is hard work. Why should funding student-centered programs be difficult, too? If you're stressed about your budget and where you'll find some extra cash to run a great program for kids, I have a solution for you. Introducing the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2018. In this guide, you will find the best school fundraising ideas available in 2018. My favorite company described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending brings hassle-free fundraising to schools through custom sticker vending machines installed in your school. The best part, you do absolutely no work. The School Spirit Vending team installs, maintains, and shares the revenue collected with the school. You can learn more about School Spirit Vending and the other magnificent companies mentioned in the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Go there now, download the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. So Corey, thanks for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I know the content today was a little more serious. I hope I was able to add some value to your listeners.
Definitely.
It's something that I'm passionate about, something that, you know, I take very seriously. I've seen the benefits. I've executed what I've asked your leaders to do here. I've executed that in military installations, both at home and abroad. It works. It continues to work for our military day in and day out. I'd be happy to connect with any of your listeners who found some value today. They can reach me at either LinkedIn. They can reach me at my email, which I'm sure will be in the show notes.
Yep.
And if I can help, I'd love to.
Awesome. Well, Better Leaders, thanks for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Corey. And head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Corey in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up. You'll get highlights of today's episode, links to the resources like Never Split the Difference and The Best Way to Connect. Corey, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you very much.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.